listening to 91.9 FM KPTZ, Treasures and Pleasures, or Pleasures and Treasures, the interchangeably monikered show. And this morning I have with me Kippy Waters, and she is one of the founders of Peninsula Home Care Cooperative. Good morning, Kippy.
Good morning, KPTZ community and Marsha.
So we've been hanging out, Kippy and I, knowing we're going to have an on-air conversation where she's going to have the information and I'm going to turn the microphone around to her. And I am so pleased. I'm going to quote from their website, first of all. Will it be someone to take care of you? Let's face it, we are getting older. Just look at the sea of silver-haired people at our community gatherings. However, we are not alone. There is a wave of humanity reaching old age and impacting the world in a way that is metaphorically referred to as the silver tsunami. The statistics are impressive. We are creating a historically new demographic by which the old outnumber the young. This hits very close to home in the field of long-term care, where there is an increasing need for home care and a decreasing workforce of caregivers. So, I only know Kippy for 10 minutes, but I have a feeling that that fact mobilized you into action. Is there a backstory about how you got started with this cooperative?
Yes. You know, it's actually the silver tsunami maybe was on the back burner of my thinking at the time, but mostly the motivation for establishing the Cooperative of Caregivers was just to create a new paradigm for elder care in our community. We have several caregiving agencies in town, and we have a lot of independent caregivers. And it seemed that we needed a new model where caregivers were given the opportunity for empowering careers.
I'm sure there's a backstory about who, since it's a co-op, who you work with, how it got started, what was in all of your thinking. First of all, this has been going for about a year and a half?
Yes, we've only been open for a year and a half. And 9 months before that, we had our first public meeting inviting caregivers to come together and look at the possibility of a home care cooperative in Port Townsend.
9 months, that's a birth.
Yes. Actually, I hadn't thought of that, but it took 9 months from our first meeting to the day we opened our doors to actually get everything we needed in place to open a cooperative.
And there's something very interesting about that, because that's the life cycle. They say we all regress a little bit, I know I do, as we get older and need care. And there you did, you produced a baby. It is growing. So how did you produce this baby?
It was just a matter of the right idea at the right time in the right community. A group of caregivers got together with the idea of consolidating our experience, our resources, into a cooperative of caring for our elders.
How many were in the original group?
Well, there was 5 people on the original board of directors, or the steering committee. And we've grown in a year and a half to about 25 employees.
Then I have to ask about any co-op, because I'm an old 60s person, where there were endless conversations and processing and meetings, but I have a feeling we've come a long way. So how frequently do you all have to meet to make decisions, and how easy is it to make decisions?
That's a really good question, Marsha, and it's one of the things that keep me in awe, and I think keep all of our members in awe, is that we really are a coherent group. I think that we did have a lot of experience in the 60s of trying to come together in harmony with a common goal and just watched it fall apart. And maybe it's because we've matured, but this cooperative is the most coherent group of people I've ever worked with. And I think because we do have a common goal, and there's just no room within the goal to make mistakes. So we meet once a month, and during these meetings, we set policy. We look at our finances, so all the members have grown from caregivers to business owners who understand financial statements, who understand how to read them, and make decisions based on what they're seeing.
When you say we, is it the board or all the members?
It's all the members.
And everybody has a vote?
Everybody has a voice. The way the cooperative is set up and the way most worker-owned cooperatives are governed is the members elect a board of directors, and that board has the final vote, but everybody in the co-op has a voice. And right now, the voice is pretty united. And so the vote that the board makes is harmonious with the feelings and the thinking and the voice of all the members.
So it's a reflection of what the members want.
Yes.
I want to say there's a third factor here. The third factor you mentioned, which is Port Townsend. I think, yes, we've matured, but also there's something in the water here because people are kind and gentle for the most part. That's not true of a lot of nonprofits. In fact, it's always been kind of a funny thing where people are providing services, but they're nasty to each other and that. And this is different. And as you have said, your group's been around the block a bit and knew what they wanted, and they're supported by the outer environment of our whole community.
We've been very supported. The Port Townsend Leader has read several articles when we first started and then of our success. And also we got startup funds from the Local Investment Opportunity Network that we have paid back within the first year and a half. And so the community has been incredible.
Well, that's pretty amazing to pay back within a year and a half.
What was really beautiful is that when I spoke to our lenders about paying back early, all of them said, I'll find another place to invest this money.
Wow.
So,
wow. Yeah. So you really paved the way for others who also need the assistance that you were given.
I hope so, yeah.
Tell us about you personally. Where are you from? When did you come here? And what got you interested in doing something really useful to the community as well as yourself?
I moved here 9 years ago from Ashland, Oregon. And I had a very fulfilling career there in elder care, hospice care mostly. I was the go-to caregiver for the hospice. They would always call me when they had a patient who needed hospice care, and I would gather teams around that client to care for them. But I knew I needed to live on the sea, so I traveled up the coast until I found Port Townsend and never looked back. And when I first got here, I went to the hospital, to the hospice offices, and said, here I am, you know, and thinking that I would just, you know, step into the role again of being a hospice caregiver here. But it was very easy to continue my career in elder care here in Port Townsend because there is such a need. And after maybe 6 or 7 years, I realized that there were a lot of independent caregivers. In this field of elder care, we're pretty isolated. We're working alone with a client in their homes. And there was a need, I saw the need to bring caregivers together to support each other. That was the initial idea of starting a cooperative.
Are your monthly meetings just business meetings, or do you have other opportunities to meet and talk over difficult cases? And
yes, we have an office downtown in the Flagship Landing building, which is half administrative office and half member lounge. It's a very comfortable spot, and members meet there a lot. They come gather there a lot to talk about their clients, what needs to be done, just to brainstorm and collaborate. But also our monthly meetings, we do talk about different aspects of caregiving. We hone our skills, and just recently I have been approved by the state of Washington to teach continuing education courses, so our members will be given continuing education credit for attending the meetings.
That's a wonderful thing. What about oversight? Like, you know, when you close the door of someone's house, you're the caregiver, and then there's the dependent adult that you're caring for, and something goes wrong, what recourse does the patient have?
The patient in their home has the office phone number and all the contact information they need to get a hold of me. We are a state-licensed agency. We have to comply with all the state regulations for communication with our client, regular 6-month evaluations, plus having all the information they need to get a hold of us or the state if they need to speak to somebody about their care.
Well, I want to give you the reason for going to worst case scenario. It's just that people get very nervous, myself included, when you're dependent. And so it's nice to be reassured that there's both mutual training, there's training from people that are more experienced, and that there's some oversight because it's state licensed. I think that's important to know. Not that it would necessarily ever have to be invoked.
I think it's a really good question, and I think that's one of the advantages of a cooperative, because we do vet all of our incoming employees. We do background checks. They need to be certified as a home care aide or a certified nursing assistant. We stay in touch. We're not isolated. I appreciate what you're saying about being vulnerable and having somebody come into your home. Depend on them. And I keep closely in touch with our new clients and make sure that they're comfortable with their caregivers.
I love the combination, and I feel this already about the co-op, of professional knowledge and compassion and empathy. And in a lot of human service professions, you can't take that for granted. It needs to be built in or come naturally. And I have a feeling that the people you have vetted, it comes naturally with. There you go. The reassurance is as important as the question.
Right. I can tell you, Marcia, we're very, very picky about who we hire and who we allow as a member of our cooperative. For that reason, there's probably no words that I can express just how proud I am of our members. They're the highest quality caregivers. They're compassionate, they're intelligent, they're fun, and they're so devoted to their clients and to the cooperative.
Well, let's get a demographic here. I imagine it's mostly women, the caregivers. Is that true?
Yes, it's the highest percentage, but we do have three, possibly four gentlemen.
Well, here you go. When my time comes, I may want a little testosterone to come into my lesbian household. You never know. What's the median age? In their 40s or 50s?
You know, we have two caregivers in their 70s.
Wow.
And we have caregivers in their 20s.
That's the one I dream of. Get me a guy in his 20s. When my time comes, I'll be in bliss. Now I'm playing with you.
I'm really proud of our young caregivers. When I started caregiving, it was my associates were people my age. We had raised our children. We did corporate America. We did that whole thing and just wanted a more soul-centered profession. It was a natural progression. It was the right sequence of things to start taking care of our parents' generation. Though the baby boomer generation, we're all retiring, and you know, what generation is there to step up in our place? And I'm very proud of the very young people entering the co-op. They bring with them a maturity and a dedication and a devotion. I just think the whole concept of millennials can be thrown out the window. These are dedicated, intelligent, caring people.
Well, I wouldn't throw the whole concept out, but the ones that are drawn to your co-op, they don't read millennials. That's my biggest concern. But there are millennials who read. There are millennials who they have great energy and a lot of social consciousness.
And they really do.
So if you put the individual caring consciousness together with social consciousness, it's good. And if, of course, you want to build in millennials because you want the agency to be able to keep going and rejuvenate.
Right, exactly. And I think one of the obstacles that I felt we were going to face, and it's possible we will face, is working with generations of young people who are used to interacting with each other through social media. And caregiving is quite the opposite. There couldn't be a further opposite, where everything we do in the caregiving world is personal and intimate and one-on-one and eye contact and heart contact.
And confidential is the big thing.
And confidential is the big thing.
Because the big thing about social media is, you know, I spent my, you know, the better part of my early adult life learning boundaries to grow up and be besieged by social media where there are none. So I think, you know, you're making a very important point that for the millennials that are drawn to this work, they're A, atypical of the larger group, and B, they have to deal with a lot of conundrums. And I think that's an interesting point. Can you give me, with confidentiality involved, can you give me some case examples of things that are working really well with particular clients?
Yes, I can. First comes to mind is a wonderful woman in her 90s who we came into her home, and at the time she was ready to die. She just had had enough. She didn't have any spirit left for living. And we brought two young women into her home 6 hours a day. And within 2 months, her whole outlook on life has completely changed. She's excited for life again. She's active. It's just like a miracle. We've had a lot of miracles because we come into people's homes at a time of great need. Our service is to care for them unconditionally, love them unconditionally. And how could that not help bring a new spirit, whether it's to a spirit to live or a spirit to gracefully and gratefully continue in the passage of life through the end of life? So almost every case is a miracle. It feels like a miracle because love is a miracle and caring is a miracle. And that's who we are and that's what we do.
There's probably a range of activities. Many people are totally homebound when they have caregivers. But do others get to take what I call field trips to, you know, go out to the store together or take a drive or...
Absolutely. Go to the festivals. The Wooden Boat Festival is a favorite to bring our clients. The parades, music events, out for a live band at the poorhouse. We can take, as long as they're mobile, we can take them out.
We used to live in an apartment in town, in an apartment complex, and the woman next to us had a round of caregivers. But we would take her on field trips when the caregivers weren't on duty occasionally, just brought her into the studio once to witness an interview.
Sweet.
And she was so excited. She was dressed 2 hours before we were going to pick her up. And you're able to provide a range of services congruent with where the patient or client is at. What do you call them? Patients, clients?
Clients. Beloveds.
I go for that. Is there anything else people need to know who haven't encountered this need yet but are thinking ahead? Anything important for the potential consumer?
I think the most important thing that I would like to convey is that our caregivers own the cooperative. It's their business. It's their passion. And because the success of the business depends on them, they're going to provide the best care possible. You know, there's no corporate overlord to bail us out. So we have to carry the torch. We have to do our best in all circumstances. And we're doing that. We've stepped up and we're providing really excellent care.
You know, it's really interesting. What I have noticed in this town is that folks that are doing giving and caring and even volunteering, like in the film festival, the staff of the film festival, for example, I became aware as I got to know them better, these people all year long that sit in this office and make it possible are the most competent men and women I've seen, and they all had former careers that were high level, that demanded a lot of expertise, and now our little town is getting to benefit from that. And folks like you and folks in other nonprofits in the town where people are just doing something that utilize their skills from their former careers in a more relaxed, in a more give-and-take manner, and not competitive. There's more kindness and gentleness. I think we're such a lucky community that that's who we draw.
Right. And I think that's one of the values of being 60. I have a whole lifetime of experience and knowledge and corporate experience that I can bring to Peninsula Home Care and work towards our success. There's one thing that I would like to express here, and that is, you know, the need in our community to continue to encourage people to look at caregiving as a dignified, viable career. Just the same way that our high school is integrated with the marine sciences, I would really love to see our educational system integrate with the caregiving services, mentorship programs, and things like that, because we are an aging community and an aging county, and the need for good qualified caregivers is only going to increase with time.
And I could also see in your spare time, I could see multi-generational projects where some of the healthier clients of yours can connect up with school children and do all kinds of things.
Absolutely, absolutely, with experienced caregivers by their side. Because this is fulfilling work, and it can be a dignified career. And the cooperative model really provides that.
And maybe these young people will read to some of the elderly, and they themselves will start learning to appreciate reading. I have to just keep emphasizing that. I'm so concerned as a reader about all of that. But anyway, enough about me. Back to you. We're getting ready to wind up, so your final words to the listener.
My final words to the KPTZ community is thank you for inviting me on the air today, Marcia. And again, you can find us at the Flagship Landing Building downtown. Come on and visit us and find out a little bit more about the co-op.
And give your website.
It's easy. It's phc.coop, PHC Peninsula Home Care, phc.coop.
Well, Kippy Waters, it's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. I look forward to hearing listeners' comments about all that Kippy has shared with us today. After again thanking our guest, Kippy Waters, I'd like to thank Mike Schlexer, production coordinator for KPTZ, but our very own engineer and editor for this show, Larry Stein, program director, Robert Ambrose, who's bringing great energy to being open to new ideas for experimenting with the constant improvement of our station. Go gently. If you can't go gently, go as gently as you can.